morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of DevelopPod. My name is James Taylor, and I'm just popping in here at the beginning to introduce the show. So in today's episode, you're going to hear from DevelopPod team member Tanya and her interview with David Farmer. I'll let her explain more about that in a moment. But before she begins, I just want to remind you that if you want to stay in touch with TDSIG, then the easiest thing to do is follow us on social media. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just do a search for IATEFL Teacher Development SIG on any of those platforms and you'll find us, or TDSIG. That should do the job. And then, of course, if you want to make sure that you get the latest episode of DevelopPod on your mobile listening device right there in your app, wherever you're listening to me now, then make sure you hit the subscribe button and the new episode will just magically appear. Okay, that's enough from me. So I'm going to pass you over to Tanya to take it away for the rest of this episode.
Early this year, as part of our annual TDSIG Scholarship Awards, we put out a call for people to win free IATEFL memberships. Part of this application involved nominating someone in the ELT industry and explaining how that person had influenced their teaching and their career. These folks also needed to think of questions that they would like to ask that person if they had ever had the chance to meet them. So we have six excellent interviews lined up in total. And here's our first with David Farmer, answering the questions Thais from Brazil sent in. Now, before we get to Thais's questions and David's answers, let me first introduce you to David Farmer. As his excellent website, dramaresource.com, attests, David Farmer inspires, motivates, and educates teachers about the power of drama to transform learning. He had a standout career as a theater director and producer of shows and workshops for children and young people across the world. And then he moved into the field of ESL as an in-demand speaker, trainer, and writer. David's the author of several best-selling books on drama, including 101 Drama Games and Activities, as well as Learning Through Drama in the Primary Years. He has also written numerous plays and articles featuring the use of drama in ELT. In 2013, he was even writer-in-residence at the Time and Tide Museum in Great Yarmouth. David's online course, Drama Games for English Language Teaching, in 2018 was the winner, actually, for the Best Resource for Teachers Award from the English Speaking Union. And he has been shortlisted for the Outstanding Drama Education Resource in the Music and Drama Awards for 2020.
My name is Thais Olivieri, and I'm a teacher from Brazil. I've been teaching English for 6 years, and I teach in an English course, which means that I teach all sorts of ages, from young learner to adult. But I am also a literature teacher, and I teach literature in high school, so I teach teenagers. For me to explain why I've chosen this author, I would like to briefly explain how I came to be in love with English and with the English language. I was a very shy kid, and I just hated English lessons because it was the place where the teacher would make me stand up and repeat something over and over again in front of the class, and that was just dreadful. Until one day, I joined a drama club, and drama made me fall in love with the English language, and it was just my favorite place in the whole world because throughout English, I've discovered this whole new aspect of my personality that I didn't know it existed, that I was actually an extrovert and that I was very comfortable in the stage. So when I decided to become a teacher, I wanted to bring this opportunity to my students. So since I first started, I was looking for ways to incorporate drama into my classroom. And David Farmer does that beautifully and very pedagogically. He has a website called Drama Resources, where the activities are really well explained, so step by step, how you would put them into the classroom. I've watched some webinars, and he always explains that really well. And not only to use drama for a speaking goal, for the goal for the students to speak more, But you can use drama as a way to tackle the topic of bullying or to make your classroom a friendly environment for everyone. So this is why I've been checking on his website and buying his books and then reading his books on a weekly basis. So a huge thank you for Farmer for that. So if I could interview him, I would ask him not about how to overcome shyness, but I would tackle the topic of extrovert and introvert students and how drama can make a class more introverted friendly. Because one thing is to help a student to overcome shyness, but another thing is to integrate an introvert learner into your classroom. And if he thinks that drama can help this kind of student, or now. So the questions I would ask him are these ones. First, do you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert person? Second, how do you think drama affects a classroom environment when it comes to an introvert and an extrovert student? Third, would an introvert teacher carry out your activities differently? And lastly, how he would use drama as a tool to make a class more introvert friendly?
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us in our virtual studio this morning, David. With us, we have David Farmer. So welcome.
Hi, thank you. Great to be here.
Just before we ask you the questions from one of our TDSIG membership winners, I would like to kind of highlight for a moment that drama resource website that you do have, because I think it's wonderful. There's a lot of really good resources there, teaching strategies and tips, continuous professional development ideas, games, but you also have this drama game of the week that you post every Monday.
Yeah. And also in relation to COVID-19, what I've been doing for the last few weeks is posting a drama game each week, but also talking about how it can be adapted to be used online.
Wonderful.
Because I've had a lot of teachers and practitioners writing to me asking for advice about, you know, how can they continue using drama. So, yeah. In fact, I've also developed a whole page now on the website, which is all about teaching drama online, which perhaps you can put in your links afterwards.
Yes, I will, for sure. And there's also that the Teaching Drama Online course that I think you're offering for free at the moment. Is that right?
That's right, yes. I decided to put that out there for free just because I thought, you know, so many people are looking for things to do now. From their homes. And actually what's been really nice about it is that it has turned into a community. So through all the comments section, people are sharing ideas, asking questions and so on, and helping each other. So
That's wonderful.
I'm really pleased with that.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for putting that out for us. That's great. Now, the interesting thing with Thais's questions is that they're actually quite focused on this idea of introversion versus extroversion within the sphere of drama in the ESL classroom. So her first question to you was, do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I think it would be quite hard to class myself as an introvert. You know, it's a difficult one because I actually think, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I think sometimes I'm an introvert and sometimes I'm an extrovert. When I'm together with my family, we all love showing off to each other and having fun. I chose a career as an actor, which is all about, you know, being on stage in front of people. But having said that, I absolutely love being on my own and do a lot of things by myself. And I'm not always, you know, wanting to be the big kind of social animal, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. And I guess her concern, or not concern, but her question is also about how does that kind of play out in the classroom? Because usually when we think about having drama in the classroom, we think that everybody has to be an extrovert in order to enjoy it. Mm. But she's saying, well, how do drama activities affect the classroom environment when it comes to some introverted students, maybe as well as the extroverted students?
No, that's a great question. And it is one that I get asked by a lot of teachers. So, you know, a lot of people who want to use drama in the classroom are probably extroverts, but not all of them. I'm talking about the teachers here. You know, sometimes I get teachers on my courses who are doing the course because they would like to use drama and they need to get over a hurdle to do it. And I think what I'm very aware of this issue, really. And I've always planned my workshops, for example, to begin with very non-challenging activities so that you gradually build up confidence. And I think that's what it's about. So, for example, in a session that I run, I would start off with some pair activities so that people are not having to do things in front of the whole group, you know.
Yeah.
They're just doing it with a partner. They feel quite equal and they feel supported by each other. And then you gradually build that up into small group activities. But for example, with young children, if you go as young as 5 years old, which I sometimes work with, they can't really work very easily with a partner or in a group. And so you tend to do stuff with the whole class. But an important point is that the kind of drama that I'm talking about in terms of language teaching is drama games and techniques which are geared towards learning. So they are really, they're games that some of them you can just play at your desk. So you don't even have to get up and do things in front of other people. It's all about really giving people confidence and having fun as well. So games that I would start off with would tend to be games where I would try to break down inhibitions a little bit. So, you know, I think that helps quite a bit with introversion. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I don't think students should ever be forced to show something or do something that they don't feel confident about. So most teachers would generally be very aware, I think, of students that didn't look confident enough to show something in front of other students. And in a group, you know, sometimes the dynamics work themselves out so that if there's an improvisation, you tend to get the more extroverted students doing more, you know, and the introverted students can take a bit more of a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's definitely worth bearing in mind. And I think the other thing is that I try to make sure that students always feel comfortable. And so it's this thing of giving them a feeling of security and confidence rather than just immediately saying, okay, everybody, you know, we're all going to be monsters and run around the halls screaming or whatever it might be. So let's start off from a stable and secure kind of relationship with each other and then build that up.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're talking a lot about that idea of creating that safe space for different kinds of people, mm-hmm. right? Where the idea of pair work, starting small, not forcing students, I think that's all very what I would consider introvert mm-hmm. friendly. Mm-hmm. Are there any other specific strategies that we can use maybe as a teacher setting activities up or maybe even the types of drama activities themselves that can make it even more introvert friendly?
Yeah, I think so. So for example, there are some drama techniques that I use over and over and teachers all around the world use them all the time. And that is because they are designed for that kind of situation really. So for example, I would always use freeze frames before I would use improvisation. So in a freeze frame, students have to make sort of like a still image or a frozen picture of a scene. It's far easier for a student to just make a kind of statue image of a character or an emotion, expressing an emotion, than it is for them to remember lines or to remember where to move or, you know, what to say. And the other thing that you get with improvisation when people aren't used to it is that they tend to speak over each other. So with a freeze frame, there's no talking. All you have to do is discuss with the group, first of all. So in fact, one of the benefits of that kind of educational drama approach is the discussion that happens with the group before you actually do anything. So, for example, you might take a chapter from a course book, a language book, and there might be a scene in it at an airport or a scene at the doctor's or whatever it might be. And then you would ask groups to make a freeze frame of that scene. And that's, you know, normally quite fun. And they can add in their own variations, like deciding, for example, at the doctor's what kind of illness somebody has. And building from freeze frames, once students have seen how easy that is and, you know, it's not too embarrassing, you can add in what we call thought tracking, which is where you then get the group to make a freeze frame and you tap individuals on the shoulder and ask them to speak a thought of that character. So again, all they're being asked to do is just to say something very simple, could be a phrase or even a word. You know, it could be scared or excited, or it could be, I really don't want to be at the doctor's, you know, depending on their confidence and also their level of language.
Lovely. What great examples.
Yeah.
Those are excellent. Those are wonderful examples. Honestly, I'm so going to do that myself. Right. It's like, right, I want to get back in that classroom so I can do these now. This is awesome. Yeah. And one of the other things I think that I'd be interested to know your opinion on this is expanding a little bit more from Thais's questions. Is drama, do you find that drama is applicable across all skills and systems? That it doesn't, it's not just the realm of speaking practice, if you like. In my experience, a lot of people seem to use drama as, oh, I need to get my students to speak. But do you find it has a much wider application?
I do. So, for example, in one of the courses I run, which is the Drama Games for Language Teaching, which was put together with the Nile Institute, that is all about using drama right across different subjects. So as I mentioned, course books. So for the assignment, which is part of that course, I ask teachers to make a lesson plan based on the techniques that I've taught them in the course. And the lesson plans that I get are completely unpredictable and varied. And, you know, they will be just on virtually any subject. You know, I've had things on Macbeth, but I've also had things on a painting by David Hockney, or a poem, or a children's picture book, and even environmental science and vaping. Nice. Just all sorts of subjects.
Sorry, it seems to lend itself quite well to CLIL, then, the content language instruction. And do you find that in that course that you were just talking about, there's also a really great connection between, you know, grammar and lexis and function? And so it's easy to kind of wrap the systems in as well?
Yeah. Now, I have to be honest here in that I tend to leave that part to the language teachers. Because I'm a drama expert. I'm not actually an expert on teaching language. So the sort of the grammar side of it, I tend to leave to teachers. But I think that it is all about how you frame each activity, really. So if you wanted to practice conditional if clauses and so on, then it's a matter of setting up situations where that might be applicable. But really, what I see as my job really is just opening teachers' eyes to looking at two-dimensional activities in a course book and thinking about how they can take them out of that and bring them to life in the classroom. And there are so many very simple ways of doing that. I probably teach, you know, there's probably about 5 key activities that I teach that you could use, you could apply to virtually any course book, any subject and topic and theme, and use them over and over again. And they'll be different each time in the end result.
Wonderful. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and answer Thais's questions. I'm sure she's going to be absolutely thrilled when she hears that we were able to interview you and actually get real answers to her questions. So I really sincerely appreciate the time that you've taken, David.
All right. It's been a pleasure, Tanya. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today. As I mentioned at the start of this podcast, this is the first in a series of six awesome interviews we have lined up for you. We hope you'll have a chance to listen to next month's interview where Christian speaks with Jane Willis about task-based learning. Until then, we wish you health and happiness from everyone here at the DevelopPod team. Bye.